Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, welcome to another Norman Night, coming to you live here from Bowie, Maryland. I think I've got everything all squared away tonight. I'm coming to you from a cell phone. I actually like the way it sounded the last time, and I think that I'll keep doing this. If you want to call me, y'all know the number's 347-945-6713. Tonight we're going to talk about a lot of stuff. We're going to talk about Sergeant Bo Burgdon, the prisoner of war who was just brought home from Taliban captivity in return for five Taliban officials or prisoners who were being held without charge at Guantanamo. We're also going to talk about an immigration bill and just what we need to do here in America with immigration. We're also going to speak about, and anytime you want to bring an opinion in on any of these topics, well, you know the number's 347-945-6713. Or you can join me in the chat room. We'll probably talk a little bit about the Las Vegas shooting where a man named Jared Miller gunned down two policemen who were simply having lunch and left swastikas on their bodies. I talked about the POWs. We'll talk about the Triple Crown race also, if you're interested. 347-945-6713. I got some people coming in and out of the chat room. Why don't you stay for a while and we can talk about all of this. Where shall we start? Shall we start with Burgdon? Shall we start with the Las Vegas shooting? Shall we start with immigration and my grandfather? A shout-out to my Italian relatives, first of all. I don't know if any of you are listening, but I know some people in Italy have been listening to the show, and I want to say hello to you. My cousins, who my first cousin, Paul Constantine, who was the oldest son of one of Ottavio Costantini's twins, Norman and Leonard. My father was Norman. Leonard was Paul's father. Leonard was also my kumbar, or my godfather. And though I haven't really learned much Italian in my life, I did, I think, grow up with some pretty heavy Italian culture. I wasn't quite as Americanized as some of my other cousins. Oh, that might not even be fair. But one very interesting thing, and it would be a way for us to move towards the whole immigration debate, there are more Italians in America than any other single European ethnic group. I did not know that, and that really is, it's Nancy! Oh, gosh, I'm sorry. Here I am giving that a shout-out on the air. My other phone is ringing, and I'm really kind of embarrassed by that. We're a real home operation here. But we're going to talk about immigration first. We've got to do something in the United States. because we have literally millions of people who are illegal. And actually, the whole concept of an illegal immigrant is really something relatively new to America. The first thing I'd like to do, hey, shoot, I see you've logged into the chat room. I'm really glad to see you here. Hey, wait a minute, I got a call here. We're coming in early today. Go ahead, shoot, you're on with Norm at Night. Hello? Shoot, you're on with Norm. Hello? Okay, well...
Hello, can you hear me?
I can hear you now. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm pretty well. Perfect.
Good to hear you. It's been a while.
Yeah, a perfect person to join in our discussion about immigrants.
I can only talk for 15 minutes, Norm. Is that okay? I have to leave. I have an exam tomorrow, like you'd understand.
Oh, hey, I just, so I don't forget, you looked super duper on top of that mountain.
Thank you, thank you. Like always, right?
Yeah, well, you know, if you tilt your head a certain way, somebody might even think you're good-looking enough to be an Italian.
I know. I've been doing that a lot recently. I tilt a lot every direction, Norm.
I hear you've been
doing well yourself. I heard you've been losing some weight and getting fit. And
well, I don't know so much about the getting fit part, but there tends to be a little bit less of me these days. I'm trying hard. You know, I'm working another year, so I'm a happy man.
That's good.
I wasn't so positive about it as the year wound down, but anyway, that's not a discussion for the air. So what do you think? Finish all your degrees, are you going to run back to Nepal or are you going to stay here in America?
Well, we'll see what happens. But let's talk about business, Norm, in your vlog.
Business?
In my 15 minutes that I want to talk to you about is if you heard about the FIFA scandal, the FIFA World Cup that's going to start this week. I'm sure with all your kids into soccer and you yourself such a big fan, you're very looking forward to this, I would assume.
Well, the World Cup is a real interesting thing, especially since it's being held in Brazil.
Yeah.
And what is this scandal you're talking about? Well, I don't want to move into charged areas that I'm not sure of.
It's not so much scandal. It's just a little bit of, well, there's a bit of scandal. There's a little bit of injustice and a little bit of all. Well,
I don't think
so
it's. I would not call it scandal. I would absolutely call it injustice.
I was talking about the thing that I wanted to mention was not this World Cup, but the other World Cup the next World Cup that was going to be held in Qatar. The 2018 World Cup that was going to be held in Qatar. And how?
Right.
And I was reading about how this was this bidding process or this competitive bidding that determined that it was going to be held in Qatar was they bribed. There was a lot of bribe taking that place. And
well, there's no doubt about that the bidding process is there's a lot of money at stake.
I wouldn't really be concerned about, I mean, that's just a side project, but something that is close to and dear to my heart is that a lot of people in Qatar, as you know, is a very hot country, and it's a very rich, oil-rich country, and not a lot of people live there just because of the weather conditions. And to build all that stadium, that multi-billion dollar like stadiums, huge stadiums, what they have to do is they bring in a lot of labor from South Asia, from countries like India, Nepal, and Bhutan, and even Bangladesh. So all these countries where there's excessive labor force, they take those people to Qatar to make these stadiums. And no surprise, there's a lot of people from Nepal who have been transported to Qatar to make these stadiums. And
Are they forcing them to go?
No, they're making false promises. So in Nepal, when there's a lot of advertisement that I've seen personally myself, which promises a very good living standard, a really good pay, and to someone who's living in the mountains on nothing, that anything looks good. So all these Nepalese people and Indians and Bangladeshi people, they're very lured by these companies, and they go to Qatar for a big surprise. And I in Qatar.
And what about the Muslims in India and Nepal?
It does not matter if they're Muslims. It doesn't matter if they're Hindus. It doesn't matter if they're any religion. As soon as you get into Qatar, if you are immigrant visa, what they do is they take your passport away from you. And as soon as you land in Qatar, they take your passport away, and you cannot leave the country unless your employer signs you off. So just saying, for comparison, is that if I come to America to work, if I worked at School for Tomorrow, Alan could take my passport away and then make me work for like more than 24 hours a day at no given benefits, no nothing. There is no law to protect the migrants. And that's exactly what's been happening in Qatar. All these people, they've been forced to live outside of the city. So what they do is they build slums outside of these mega cities where they cram all these people like chicken coops. In chicken coops, there's no sanitary conditions, there's no AC, there's no even running water. But there are thousands and thousands of people from all over these countries. They're just cooped up into these places without any fundamental rights, they don't pay them. They withhold their paycheck. They pay them very, very little, less than 10% of that we're promised to. They don't let them go back. They can't leave the country, even if they want to, even if their families want them to come back. They can't. They have no rights in Qatar. And what has been happening is that they force these laborers to work on insane heat, more than 120 degrees heat in every day. And what happens when you work in heat, such high heat, without much safeguard, is you die pretty much without heart failures. With heart failures, with exhaustion, and that's exactly what's been happening. Every other day, there's a coffin that comes back from Qatar with a Nepalese or Bangladeshi or Indian dead body in it. So it's been estimated by before 2018, the next World Cup, 4,000 of these migrant workers are going to die. So when we watch soccer next year, next stadium, what we'll be enjoying is that the death of all these 4,000 people that are estimated to die while making these stadiums. So that is something that was very concerning. And I mean, personally, there's nothing much I can do, but the most I can do is to inform other people by coming to blogs like yours and let you know, and you can let other people know. So just raise awareness on this regard, just so maybe collectively we can do something regarding this.
Well, there's a real chance in Brazil this year that the World Cup could be disrupted.
Well,
there are threatened strikes. The stadiums are just about finished. The same kinds of things have happened with the workers. It's really a very, very bad situation. And
you know, right? This is why we need labor movement. This is why to protect all these laborers. This is, and time and again we move through these our times, and time and again we see how important labor organizations are to safeguard the rights of people, of the working class people, to give them
There's
a voice.
There's no question about it, but everybody thought I was crazy.
Well, you are still crazy, Norm.
I am not crazy. We need a workers' movement at places where I'm at, too. But anyway, I don't want to get into that. I did not know about these things in Qatar. I'm embarrassed to say, I'm not even sure where Qatar is.
Qatar is in Middle East.
Well, I knew that. I mean, is it attached to the Saudi Peninsula?
It's very close to that. Let me think about this for a second. If you look at that Gulf, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's very close.
The Gulf of Aqaba?
Wait a second. There's the big Persian Gulf, right? There's the...
Right, and then there's the Gulf of Aqaba.
Next to Kubet, the Oman, there's...
Where is the place they...
You know where Saudi Arabia is?
Say that again?
Saudi Arabia?
Yeah, I know where Saudi Arabia is.
It's right there. It's right next to it.
So it's attached to... It borders Saudi Arabia.
Yep.
Okay. So where are most of the laborers coming from?
Most of them are coming from Nepal and India and Bangladesh. And I'll send you a link
Are the conditions for these people, for these laborers in Nepal and India and Bangladesh so bad that they go?
It's the false promises and false hopes that these people are shown at Nepal. I mean, the government of Nepal should be doing a better job of controlling this. The government,
the government of Nepal cooperating?
The government of Nepal shamelessly has allowed people to get out of the country to work because there isn't enough jobs in Nepal. But we have a lot of labor force. So what the government has shamelessly been doing is promoting people, migrants, to go out of the country in hopes that they would earn some money and send back home in Nepal so the economy gets better. But I mean, it's all right if they're going to a better country, but this has always been
the fate of emigrants from one country to another. And in fact, most of the Italians who originally came to America came here they left their wives and their kids home, and they would come here to earn money. And in fact, many of them would arrive here in the spring and go home in October and November. In fact, that happened to my grandmother. Her father and he actually brought his wife with him. She was born here, and they went back to Naples. But, this is not an unusual thing. What can be done about this?
The only thing that you and I can possibly do is to make people aware that this is happening and let other people know when this is happening so we just let more people know about this and hopefully create enough pressure for FIFA or Qatar to do something about this. And I'm
well,
and I
Qatar
think
is probably a monarchy.
I mean,
right?
Yeah, but you know when
it's not a democratic place.
Nor rather than I mean, I think this is something that you told me and which has stuck for me for a long time, and I would like to repeat it to you. Evil wins when good men do nothing. This is what I'm doing, and this is my part.
Unfortunately, it wins even when we try to do something from time to time.
But the last thing we need to do is to make it very easy for it to win, right, Norm? We need to give it a best shot, and
I'm all with you on this. I'm going to look into this some more. And, I mean, this is the kind of thing that all these, quote, progressives should be jumping into, but they don't.
Well, I mean, this is finally starting to break cover, so hopefully it will catch more attention. I mean, this thing hasn't come out very much, so, and I'm trying... It's really big in Europe. There's been a lot of coverage on this issue in Europe, but in the U.S. there hasn't been much. But this is what I'm telling you, and maybe you can share it with students at school, let them have a case study on this, let them learn something from this, and that's what I was hoping for.
Well, I appreciate this information, and I may do just that. No, I'm not sure anybody really cares about this kind of thing at school.
Well, Norm, that's not your business. Your business is to teach what you can. You can only do what
I agree 100%, and you know I do. No sleeping in the teacher's lounge.
I don't know who did that.
I don't either. But I do appreciate, and I want you to be able to go study for your exam.
Okay,
so
yeah, I got to do that.
We have had, now I have only one quick question. Are you going to finish in August?
Yes, I'm done in August, and I've been doing very well, Norm, in my classes.
I'm sure you have. Sure you have. Even when your illness didn't get in the way?
Yeah, well, that was very hard, but even with that, I've been doing very well. There's been a lot of setbacks this year, but I've been able to come out strong.
Well,
and I'm
good.
Very proud.
You should be. Anyway, so you can come back to Washington?
I wish, but I think I might be going somewhere else, Norm.
Where?
It's not 100% sure yet, but I might be going down south.
Really?
Yeah.
Why don't you go to Qatar?
I might, if the conditions improve, Norm.
No, I meant at fight for your people.
Well, it's not far, it's not Carolina.
It's not Carolina. No, it isn't. Although there aren't many unions in Carolina either.
Well, you know, you gotta do what you gotta do.
You gotta do what you gotta do, and you know that's what those poor workers are doing. And look what happened to them.
Well, you know,
but
you gotta...
I will be looking into this. Who knows? Maybe if some of the big soccer countries in the world just say we're not going.
That's exactly what we need. I mean, that would be like the best thing to ever happen.
There actually was a movement afoot to not go to Brazil because of the threat of violence that still pretty much exists. Even Pele came out against the things that are happening in Brazil. And
It's very sad for a country, for a sport that brings so much people together is being commercialized in such a way and being used to this is used to oppress a lot of people. I mean, as a tool for oppression, instead of bringing joy to a lot of families and bringing people close together.
It's always been a tool of oppression, but I don't want to get into heavy politics.
But I hope everything is well at school. I miss SFT, I must say. It's been a very long time. I tried to get in touch with you. I mean, I'm sorry I was a little gone, but...
As you said, you gotta do what you gotta do. I was very excited to see your name pop up on my screen, and this was a very fruitful first half hour.
Okay.
And now I'm gonna have to try to somehow connect this to immigration in the United States, because it is not just Qatar that abuses immigrant workers.
All right, Norm. Good luck.
All right. Well, thank you for calling. And remember, we're on every Monday at 9 o'clock. It's Norm at Night.
I won't forget that. Goodbye.
All right. Talk to you soon. We'll see you later. Well, fans, how do you like that? We're talking about the World Cup. You know, I'm sitting here filling out my bracket and, you know, trying to forget about what's going on in Brazil. And that seems like child's play from what my source tells me is going on in Qatar, where the next World Cup is going to be. If that's true, I don't know. We need to do something about it. If you have any comments about this, why don't you just give me a call? 347-945-6713. And hold on a second, I gotta get my screen back. It went to sleep on me because I got so, there we go. I was so connected up in that call about how workers from Nepal, from Bangladesh and from India, guest workers, if you would, although they're not treating them very much like guests. But I'll look more into that story, and hopefully we can talk about it next week. But I could use somebody else to talk to. Once I get somebody on the line and talk with them, it's really hard for me to go back to the monologue. But I want to keep talking about immigrants. Now, my grandfather was an Italian immigrant to the United States. Of that, there is no question. Generally speaking, immigrants are not treated very well, particularly when they're worker immigrants, when they come to a country to work. They're generally abused. Here in the United States, Southern Europeans, East Europeans, Southeastern Europeans have been pretty much abused. But probably the worst abused immigrants ever brought to the United States were those who were brought here to labor as chattel slaves. It's really very, very interesting. Yes, it was a horrible, horrible way to treat other human beings. But the fact of the matter is that was the labor system that was in place for 7,000 years in the world. And those Southerners and the plantation owners, particularly the plantation owners on the Tidewater, the cotton plantations, the cane plantations of Louisiana, those were the worst. It was a horrible way to treat other human beings. But the fact also remains that the United States, but wasn't perfect, though it wasn't entirely smooth, did or was able, if you would, to abolish slavery, and we have now been, and we're by no means close to finished, we have reformed our labor system. Organized labor is what protects us the most, and union labor has been being destroyed in this country. Well, I'll just say since Ronald Reagan, that Johnson, Jimmy Carter, Jack Kennedy, those were the high points of organized labor. It also was the high point of workers in America, immigrants or otherwise. But I was thinking about labor in America, immigrants to America, and immigrants have always come to America to work. But the immigrants that we probably, except for the slaves, treated the worst were Asians. For whatever reason, Asian immigrants to the United States have always been treated with disdain. We have actually excluded Asians from the United States by statute law. Let's look at some of the okay. The U.S. Constitution, 1788, says that the president must be a natural-born citizen, gives Congress the right to establish rules of naturalization. 1798, the Alien Act, passed specifically to keep French radicals out of the United States. It was repealed in 1801. 1808, the United States forbids the import of slaves into the country. However, American slaves, one of the few places in the world, had a natural increase. So that we really didn't need to import slaves any longer, though illegal import of slaves continued right up until the Civil War. In 1812, it became a necessity for ship captains to provide lists of all passengers aboard a ship, including their age, their sex, their occupation, their country of origin, and anybody who died en route. 1875. I guess until this time it was okay. No prostitutes or convicts allowed to enter the United States. 1876. Supreme Court declares state laws on immigration unconstitutional. Now let's keep that in mind when we're talking about immigration here in the United States, because Arizona and the states along the border are passing laws which, according to the Supreme Court decision of 1876, state laws on immigration are unconstitutional. But the granddaddy of them all, 1882, the Chinese Exclusion Act. Chinese people could not come into the United States. Also in 1882, lunatics, idiots, convicts, or people on the public dole are not allowed to enter the United States. Important law in 1885, contract laborers, are forbidden from entering the United States. We're talking about that right now. In fact, President Obama wants us to give consideration to contract laborers. It's really a very interesting situation. 1892, the famous Ellis Island opens. Other immigrant stations are set up in Boston, Philadelphia, and San Francisco. This is one that in 1903, the Secretary of Labor, which is a good person, I think, and Commerce assumed control over immigration, and they would maintain it until 1940. If you were a declared anarchist, you were refused entry into the United States. In 1907, we placed a head tax on immigrants and was raised. Now, if you had a physical or mental defect, you could not come into the country. In other words, you're missing a leg, you couldn't come into the country. Tuberculosis, you couldn't come into the country. Syphilis, you couldn't come into the country. Children not accompanied by a parent, another connection to the dream kinds of things, could not come into the country. 1917, immigrants over 16 must be literate in a language. All Asians banned. 1921, the quota system was established. 1924, the National Origins Law was passed, made Northern Europeans more favorable than any others. The quotas of 1924 were made permanent in 1929. 1939, a bill was defeated in the Congress that would have allowed 20,000 children from Nazi Germany to come here. I can't say for sure, but I'm willing to bet most of those children died in the camp. 1940, the Attorney General takes control of immigration. 1943, the repeal of the Chinese exclusion laws. 1946, the War Brides Act. If you were fighting overseas and you got married, you could bring your bride back into the country. 1948, the Displaced Persons Act. 1950, we had the Internal Security Act, which made sure that none of our immigrants were communists. 1957, the Refugee Escape Act. 1960, the Cuban Refugee Program. 65, the Immigration and Nationalization Act. 75, the Indochina Refugees Resettlement Program. We had to do something with all those people who lined up on our side during the Vietnam War. The 1980 Refugee Act, and finally, the 1986 Reform and Control Act, which was the reform of immigration during the Reagan administration. Oh, gosh, let's see here. I have been off. Oh, God, I am sorry. Go ahead, 916. I don't know how long you've been out there.
Oh, not too long. Now, I figured I'd let your friend and you talk because that was, you know, good topic.
Yeah, it was. I didn't realize that all those laborers were being, things don't really change that much.
Yeah.
Slaves are slaves.
Yeah, well, I had one friend on Facebook. I think he was Pakistani, and he had the same situation. He was in Saudi Arabia, and he was only making half of what they promised him, and then they charged him for his meals, and they charged him for rent, and it was, you know, we had a bad situation.
Sounds like the factory towns.
Yeah, I mean, you know, but see, now he worked in technology, so, you know, he did better. He wasn't like a housekeeper where you're probably going to get beat and who knows what else, so, you know.
You know, or somebody that, what do you call it, is building a stadium in Qatar for a World Cup.
Oh,
that
yeah,
probably
yeah.
is going to have more people come to watch it than live in the country.
Oh, yeah, I imagine so. You know, and the thing, you know, all of what they call the Gulf states, you know, Bahrain and, well, Qatar, and there's a couple other, well, Kuwait would be
now,
another. These are tiny little places, not very many people. But the
I
wealth
know,
they're control.
Deserts, essentially, with oil wells underneath them.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, is that the place where the guys from Guantanamo were sent?
No, wait. Oh, yes, that's right. The five that are being released?
Right.
Yeah, that's where they're going, yeah.
Yeah.
The thing with Qatar is they are very tight with the Saudis. Well, actually, all
well,
of them.
Well, I hope so. They're right up there, you know, the part of the peninsula.
Yeah, well, the two combined pretty much are financing the war in Syria right now, if you're aware of that.
For the rebels or for the
Syrians?
The
rebels, yeah.
Probably
yeah,
the
they
rebels.
Want... Yeah, they want Assad out, and they want
right,
some sort of a Wahhabist government or something of that sort. And yeah, so I mean that they've been doing this for well since it started. I guess they've had it planned, you know. But see, they're very afraid now of Iraq because Iraq will be. Or is a majority Shiite country. And once they link with Iran, you know, you've got this big power shift. Now, it hasn't exactly occurred yet, but the potential looms over them. They're not happy with that at all. So, and if I'm not mistaken, Bahrain also has a Shiite majority, but it's run by... a Sunni Sheikh, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, in fact, I think the Saudis had to send, a couple thousand troops there just to keep the peace, you know. That was a few years ago. You know, so there's an awful lot going on in the Middle East that, you know, it may or may not make the papers or the Internet, you know. I mean, news geeks like us, we're going to find it, but... Your average person, that's buried pretty deep. So, yeah, you know, we had talked about, or you had been talking about immigrants in the United States.
Well, that's right.
And, right, and I know that, you know, there are some improvements, but it's very interesting, and I can only give you the perspective in California. And that is that we have a shortage of farm workers.
Right.
I mean,
there's no question about it.
Yeah. Now, there are people around who could do this, quite a few, but they aren't going to do it. And it's quite large. It's like 20% of that labor force is not there. And what has been happening... at least as far as the vineyards and all that, these folks will go to work at 4 in the morning. They'll do a full 8-hour shift. And they get in their trucks, head to another vineyard, do another 8-hour shift. They just keep doing endlessly to get that grape harvest out, you know. But if you could imagine that's your day, and I'm certain they aren't taking any days off, you know. So, you know, and the pay is, it's not bad for that type of work, but the pay sucks, yes, of course, you know. I think on average they get maybe $10, $11 an hour or something like that, you know. Now, for that kind of work.
They take breaks in Seattle.
Yeah, but, I mean, that's backbreaking work. I mean, because, you know, it's not just grapes. We have all the other stuff. I mean, you know, there's an awful lot of produce.
I used to pick tomatoes once a year.
Uh-huh.
When we went to get our tomatoes to can.
Oh, okay.
My mother's sister's farm.
I got to check my tomatoes. We were 113 degrees today.
Oh, my gosh. We were 90.
It was horrible. Yeah, so I've watered them twice. I'm just praying, you know, they're not going to get, you know, there isn't too much root damage.
I'm surprised your water's still running.
Remember, I'm up north, so we have a better water supply. We won't have a drought here, but as you get further down the valley, yeah, if we have weather like this, they're going to really feel it down there, you know. So, I mean, we're already anticipating, well, I'm already seeing that the price of produce just soaring, you know. So that's going to be tough, but that's why I'm growing my own, you know. Yeah. So anyway, you know, there's an interest, you know, there's a thing, I don't know if it's always been true, but I know that for the Latino and particularly the Mexican immigrants, they assimilate very, very quickly. You know, where, you know, the first generation, they speak Spanish. The second generation, they speak a little bit. Now, by the third generation, they don't know a word.
Is that true?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. You know.
The Italians were when they came to Buffalo.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, Germans were the same way. They were changing their names or anglicizing. You know, of course, they had, you know, the backdrop of World War One, and then World War II.
Right, and the pronunciation changed drastically.
Yeah, yeah. So if your, you know, name was Mueller, you changed it to Miller. Right,
my mother's pronunciation of the name went from Mutter to Muter.
Ah,
the umlaut disappeared.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, there isn't a very, very few Americans can deal with umlauts. There are so many. They got a lot of rules. They go this way and that way. And then there are other vowel structures that are totally, you know, they screw me up too, you know. Or the double S symbol, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Even the Germans don't know how to use that. I mean, I'm serious. I had guys say, it's on all the street signs, but we don't know what it means. It's okay.
That's right. You were in Germany.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I had my couple years there, so, you know. But see, well, there's an interesting situation. Think of all the people from the Middle East moving to Europe, right? When there are jobs in the Middle East.
Oh,
it's a huge problem. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, people say by 2050, Europe's population may be majority Muslim.
It's a problem in England, of course. In France, it's an enormous problem. They just don't know what to do. You know, this is a weird thing. They've built all these housing projects for all the new immigrants, but they didn't build them anywhere like near Paris. They're always like about 40, 50 miles away. You know. Because they don't want them around, you know. So you have all these people there, and most of them are not working. You know, I mean, there are some that have restaurants and do whatever, but for the most part, they have not, again, assimilated with French culture. That's just not there, you know. So, see, I don't know how they're going to deal with it. I mean, when I was there, they had a different problem. You still had a lot of immigrants, and they were there illegally, but they were squatters. And every major city in Europe had this enormous district of people who just took over apartment buildings and whatever, and they were squatters. They stayed there. And the people on the far left, you know, the socialist kids from the universities, would defend them. So the police could never kick them out. And then they would try to, like, cut off their water or electricity. Well, court cases went through. They said, no, you can't do that.
speaking of court cases, talking about immigration, it was in 1875 that the Supreme Court ruled that states couldn't pass laws about immigration.
Oh, mm-hmm.
And that was that any state laws were unconstitutional. I don't understand why somebody isn't challenging these laws in Arizona and New Mexico.
Yeah. You know, I mean, just from, you know, an initial glance or thought, it would seem that would be at the federal level, you know, across the board.
Now, I've heard it talked about that states didn't have the right to do this, but nobody's actually said your law is done.
Yeah. Huh. Well, I'm trying to recall. Didn't some of that stuff get to? Wasn't there at least one Supreme Court case?
Yeah, there was a Supreme Court case.
Yeah, you know there.
And
you know,
some of it was ruled unconstitutional that they couldn't do that. See, because they were laws about letting people in and out of the country. What they were was laws about what they could do to people inside the country.
Oh, yeah, like the...
like the stop and deports or whatever they called it.
Yeah, I remember that was the big issue, right. So.
And so, but, I mean, there's all kinds of... at one point in our immigration history, we simply excluded all Asians.
Yeah.
If you were from Asia, you couldn't come here.
Right. Although eventually,
with the Chinese Exclusion Act.
Right.
And then it went to all Asians.
Right.
And then, it's really funny, you follow our wars, we have the Indo-Chinese Refugee Act.
Mm.
All the Vietnamese who sided with us, and unfortunately their team didn't win.
Right. We still have whole towns here that were completely Chinese, because they weren't allowed to live wherever they wanted to. So they had to build their own city.
Like they weren't even allowed in the country.
Yeah, well, but the ones that did
come
in...
Except to build the railroads.
Railroads, and mining was the other. Those were the big ones.
And they tried to kick them out.
When they thought, well, we don't need your work.
Well, the railroad's built. We don't need these people anymore.
Right. So, yeah. So, it's at least one of the towns, it's not very far from here. And it's completely abandoned. There's there may be a few people living there, but it's all wood, and it looks like something out of the Old West, you know, wooden plank sidewalks and the whole thing. And they're trying to preserve it, you know. But fascinating place, just amazing. Because
I got another vet on the phone here, what do you think of this Bo Baghdad? The guy, the prisoner. Could they have traded him?
You know, I...
Bergdahl.
Yeah. Well, you know, I heard in the very beginning that he just wandered off the base or wherever, and then he got captured. And that was all I heard about it, that he was just one of these guys that decided to take a walk in the middle of the night, and they found him, and that was that. So I don't know about all that other stuff. I mean, I haven't... I guess the only thing to do, I mean, there will be some sort of military investigation. And we'll know what's what.
Yeah, but these guys, like McCain and these guys, the first time when Obama wouldn't go get them, they said exactly the opposite of what they're saying
Oh,
now.
Well, yeah, I know.
And it's still on the record.
Right. Well, his enemies, political enemies, are always going to do that. It's illogical, but
they're... Well, you know what? Like Senator McCain says, this guy wasn't worth, you know, the 5 Taliban's. You know how many they traded for McCain?
Hmm.
2,600.
Oh, Christ.
North Vietnamese prisoners of war.
Yeah.
Although it wasn't just McCain. It was 500 other guys, too, but still.
Oh, sure.
2,600.
Right.
2,130 Syrian rebels were traded for 48 Iranian mercenaries. 1,150 Palestinians were traded for 3 Israelis. You can bet they all ended up back on the battlefield.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then we have, the worst of them all was 1,027 Palestinians for 1 Israeli soldier, the first Israeli soldier ever gotten out alive.
Yeah, I think he was up captured by Hezbollah, if I'm not mistaken.
I think
I remember
yes,
that.
In
yeah,
Lebanon.
Yeah, I remember. Right, I remember that case. Yeah, because it always occurred to me, it's like, you know. I mean, the odds, I mean, the numbers are just so out of balance, you know.
I wanted to get this out on the air. When you came to be an immigrant into the United States, they asked you several questions. Are you a prostitute? Do you have tuberculosis? Are you a criminal? Are you an anarchist? Do you have syphilis?
Oh, good God. I mean...
That's all you had to answer. But something really important. I kept saying, well, why was it so different then? Why were people just allowed to come into it? Because we didn't have Social Security.
Oh, yeah. Huh.
There
so
were
these
no
people,
paper.
Yeah. So
there
once these
no
people
paper.
Were here, they're what I've
nobody knew
what
who
I call
they, nobody had any idea who they were.
Right. But at the same time, you could say, well, it doesn't matter because we're dealing with human capital now.
Right,
so
and
now
anybody and anybody who was here could go get naturalized.
Exactly, and the other is,
but now
you
can't.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, you can't just do... I mean, there are some here, people take the test and they do the whole works, but it's a lengthy procedure, you know.
Yes, it is, but, you know, as wonderful and stimulated as this conversation has been, we have drawn again to an end. This is it for Norma at Night. I will see you next Monday. Thanks for calling. I really had a good time tonight. We had some good stuff. And
yeah, you had a good
I'm
show.
Sorry. Yeah, and so hopefully we'll take up some of this next week. This is Norman Knight saying we'll see you next week.
Okay.
Talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Good night. Good night, guy. Take
good
care.
Night. Okay.